The reading is Jonah chapter 2. This can be found in the Bibles in front of you on page 927, or you can follow on the screen. Because I'm short. Jonah chapter 2. This is Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I've been banished from your sight. I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped round my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, dear Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was young, a story that was read and was very familiar in the mind of children was about a rather unusual character. The classic story was written by an Italian author in 1881 and made into a Disney movie in 1940. And I can remember when I was at school, we even produced our own performance of it. I'm sure you can probably guess by now who I'm referring to. It was Pinocchio, of course. The boy whose nose grew long when he didn't tell the truth. There is the original Pinocchio there on the right-hand side from the book, and the Walt Disney version on the left. Bit of a difference there. It is the story of a wooden puppet who longs to be a real boy and is led astray. His father and his maker, Geppetto, goes across the sea looking for Pinocchio and gets swallowed by a whale or a sea monster. When Pinocchio in turn goes looking for Geppetto, he too gets swallowed by the same creature, trapped in what is usually predicted as the belly of a whale. Pinocchio calls out from the belly of the whale, "Help, help, won't someone come to save me?" And it seemed as a child unimaginable that anybody could be swallowed by a creature such as that for that length of time and survive. So tonight we're continuing our series on the prophet Jonah, who also was followed by a large sea creature, yet was saved from death to serve God in an amazing way. Sedgwick, you gave an introduction last Sunday evening, to this masterpiece in the Bible. A dramatic plot that's full of surprises over four chapters. And he shared from chapter one about Jonah running away. To recap, Jonah had been called by God to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, to preach and denounce the wickedness of the people there. History tells us that the Assyrians were cruel and heartless people who thought nothing of burying their enemies alive, skinning them alive, or impaling them on sharp poles under the hot sun. But Jonah decides he wants nothing of that. He doesn't want to go there and preach to them. He's reluctant to obey God. Instead, he boards a ship at Joppa, going to Tarshish, in the opposite direction to where God had called him to go, to Nineveh. You can see there on the map, as Sadie also showed last week, the exact opposite direction. He should have gone from A to B, and instead of that, he went from A to C. And Tarshish is a long way from Joppa, about 5,500 nautical miles, so a very long way by ship. God's word came, and God's prophet flees in disobedience. He became a backslidden prophet. How on earth did he think he could run away from the ruler of the whole earth? And God pursues Jonah and hurls a huge wind on the sea, and there's a huge storm. The sailors are afraid and realize that Jonah is responsible for this storm. Going back to chapter 1, verse 9, we read, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors are incredulous, as he said he believes in a God who made the sea, yet he runs away from him in a ship. They see the absurdity and contradiction, because even though Jonah says he believes in God, clearly he doesn't fear him. Jonah lost his power in prayer and even the desire to pray. Back in chapter 1, verse 6, the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. But Jonah didn't. Perhaps the story could have ended at verse 16 of chapter 1, where Jonah was in the sea heading for death, and where we read the heathen sailors on the ship had turned to worship the Lord, who they now feared. The story then moves from the ship to the sea. And if there's one thing that people remember about Jonah, it's the great fish. Chapter 1, verse 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. We might wonder whether it was a fish or a whale, and whether the Mediterranean Sea could have such creatures. And you can see there a small Jonah and a very big fish with its mouth open. The man Jonah is probably best known and most unusual in some ways of the minor prophets, but also the most misrepresented. It is because of the big fish story that the book of Jonah is much loved by skeptics, who are so keen to tell us that the Bible is so full of such absurdities. So how can we believe or trust it? You can't really believe that sort of thing, they say. Well, it's a bit like the Pinocchio story. Even some Bible scholars ask the question, did the event actually happen, or is it simply a fairy tale? Some say it's either a parable or an allegory, a story with a moral. But normally a parable in the Bible is very clearly indicated as such. And parables don't contain miracles, yet there are miracles in the story of Jonah. A parable has one main storyline with easily identifiable characters, simply worked out. And the story of Jonah doesn't read like that. There are so many weighty reasons for treating the story of Jonah and the fish as fact. By its style, it deals with real people, real places. And Jesus treated Jonah as a real person and believed in Jonah and the great fish. Even so, some say, well, it couldn't have happened because it is physically impossible. Somebody even said Jonah may have been rescued by a ship called the great fish. Perhaps that's what happened. Someone even said, so horrendous was his ordeal in the sea that he may have recovered by spending 3 days and nights in a pub called the great fish. So was Jonah really swallowed by a huge fish? Not a whale, as some translations call it, or is pictorially depicted. New Testament Greek calls it a megaketos, a large sea creature or monster. Could Jonah survive for 3 days inside that creature and live to tell about it? It would certainly be most unusual to be swallowed by a large fish and survive. Most unusual, though, doesn't mean impossible. Jonah-like incidents have been known to occur. There have been at least two documented reports where the men have been swallowed by large sea creatures and lived to tell the experience. The last was a sailor named James Bartley in 1891, who was a sailor on a whaling ship near the Falkland Islands, who was swallowed by a large sperm whale. When the whale was later harpooned and opened up on the third day, the surprised crew found him inside, their lost shipmate, unconscious and in a terrible state, but he was alive and survived the ordeal. I believe there's every good reason to accept the story of Jonah and the account in a literal manner. The fish involved could have been specifically prepared by God, or it could have been one of those fish that can swallow a human. Whatever the explanation, for me, the account given in the Bible is miraculous. I'm coming from the place that what is written here in the Bible is what actually happened, not to speculate beyond what we are told. Having said that, we should note that Jonah is a book about not about a strange fish, but about a great God, because that's what the book is about. The famous evangelist Campbell Morgan said, "Men have been looking so hard at the great fish, they have failed to see the great God." So Jonah was a minor prophet. Prophets were very ordinary people with a very extraordinary function. And that function was to speak for God words or pictures that had been given to them from God. Words of challenge or comfort. Jonah is a book full of paradoxes and puzzles and surprises. Jonah is the only Old Testament prophet with whom the Lord Jesus compares himself. In Matthew 12 we read, Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the heart of the earth." You may like to turn to the passage that Vicky read to us, Jonah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, which is on page 927 of the Church Bibles. As we look at this chapter where Jonah prays to his God, I'd like us to consider four things in the passage and think about how we can apply them in our lives. Firstly, why did Jonah pray? Flicking back to chapter 1, verse 6, that same verse again, the captain said to him, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God." When the sailors on the ship woke Jonah because of the violent storm and asked him to pray, he didn't. Bearing in mind the sailors did not believe in Jonah's God, they must have been really desperate to ask this. But Jonah preferred to sleep rather than pray. Does this happen to us sometimes? Somebody might ask us specifically to pray, and perhaps we intend to, but in the end we don't. Or do we perhaps read the prayer needs in marked time and never quite get round to praying? Do we say to someone, "Yes, I'll pray for you," and then we forget? The prophet of God on the ship did not pray even when asked. We see here, though, that the reluctant Jonah, when he was thrown in the sea by the sailors, then he does pray. What Jonah does is pray to his God. Verse 1, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. From the belly of the fish, he's looking back and remembering his prayer when he was in the sea. In verse 2, he says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." In verse 5, he says, "The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, the seaweed was wrapped around my head." He must have thought when he was thrown into the water that was the end. His time was over. He fell deeper and deeper to the seabed. Some commentators say that they believe that Jonah even died when he went into the water and was later resurrected in the fish. So why did he pray? I suppose it's obvious he prayed because he was desperate. He was in distress. He must have thought he would drown, but what else could he do but pray? Inside the megakitos, Jonah prayed to God in desperation of his situation. It's true, isn't it, that so often difficulty prompts us to pray. I'm sure we all pray when we have difficulties, but do we pray at other times, other than when there's a disaster or a big problem? Do we pray about small things as well as big? Do we regularly thank God for what he's done for us? There's no specific request in this prayer from inside the fish, but there's a desperate cry in the situation. What he turns to in prayer, what he turns to is a prayer of worship. Verse 9. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. He thanks God because God at least saved him from drowning up until now. Jonah is miraculously rescued by a big fish, rescued from drowning. And even though being swallowed by a fish is very unusual, perhaps even a one-off, what it means and how Jonah interprets it is common to everybody. Because Jonah recognizes God's salvation from the judgment he deserves. His prayer from the fish was a prayer of praise. He thought he was going to drown, but instead he was swallowed and he prays. He recognized that he was under God's judgment. He disobeyed God's word in chapter 1. He refused to repent. He didn't pray. He said, "Throw me in the sea, I would rather die." It is only as he is drowning that he has a change of mind. Why did Jonah pray? Because he was in desperate need and recognized that he was under God's judgment for disobedience. Secondly, where did Jonah pray? From inside the fish, of course. Verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. As he looks back, it was from the bottom of the sea as well. You can imagine that when he was thrown into the sea, how difficult it must have been to pray that verse 5 again, with seaweed around his neck. So many distractions to prevent him from praying. This morning, Carrie McFarlane, one of our mission partners, shared in the morning service about her work in a children's home in India. I can remember many years ago, we were on a St. Mark's house party in Devon, and Carrie's late husband, John, was there, and he spoke on the subject of prayer. And it was one of the best talks on prayer that I think I've ever heard. I can remember John saying that when we pray, there are always so many things that distract us and prevent us from praying. It could be a simple thing like where we are praying, the time we are praying, our to-do list playing on our mind, or our minds simply wandering, thinking of other things. And then often we think, I must do this before I pray. I'll do that a bit later. I'll pray a bit later. And then perhaps something interesting comes on the television and we watch that. I'll just see this and then I'll pray. There are so many distractions and environments that we find ourselves in that stop us praying, aren't there? The Methodist theologian Samuel Chadwick wrote, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." Jonah would have had many distractions in the smelly belly of a big fish, in a dark, nauseating environment, but he prayed. But how could he be sure that God would hear him from under the sea or from the belly of the fish? Today, many Christians are persecuted for their faith, as have been noted down the ages. One of these was Richard Wurmbrand, who I'm sure many of you would have heard of, who was imprisoned in the then communist Romania for his faith. He had 14 years of harsh imprisonment and torture, including solitary confinement, and even being frozen to the point of death and then being thawed out and refrozen over and over again. Richard Wurmbrand tells in his books how every day he meditated and prayed the whole night, pacing to and fro in his small cell. He would pray for many countries, including the UK, and for their churches. He even preached a sermon to God every night. If People like Richard Wurmbrand could remain faithful in prayer when locked up and tortured like that. How much more should we be faithful in prayer in our comfortable surroundings? But can God hear us? How did God hear Jonah? In our technological age, there are very few places in the world where we cannot communicate by internet, by the mobile network, or even satellite. If we are in difficulty and need to call someone for help, we normally can communicate using our mobile phones. But we can never be 100% sure that there would be a signal, can we? And it's frustrating, isn't it, when we urgently need to speak to someone and the signal goes. Excuse me. I was in Boots at the Hempstead Valley Shopping Centre the other day, and my phone had a message saying no signal. Impossible to make contact with the person you want to speak to. And they certainly can't hear and respond. It's not like that when we pray to God. We can be sure that he will hear us from wherever and whenever we call him, even from the bottom of the sea. Where did Jonah pray? In the depths of the sea and in the belly of the fish, despite distractions and difficulties. Thirdly, how did Jonah pray? First, he admitted that it was God who cast him into the sea. Verse 3. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. When trials and afflictions sometimes come to us because of our sins, it is important that we acknowledge God's working. Psalm 119 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You can see in his prayer he was convicted of his sin of disobedience. He admits, verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He admits that he has believed in the devil's lies. And in verse 9, he shows he's truly sorry for his sins. But with a song of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. He asked God for forgiveness. According to Hebrews 12, there are several ways we as Christians may respond to the discipling of God. We may despise it, as Jonah did for 3 days. We may refuse to confess and give up. We may endure God's discipline, confess our sins, and trust him to work everything out for our good and his glory. To rebel against the hand of God is to ask for trouble. Jonah submitted, prayed, and trusted, and God forgave him. Earlier in the service, we confessed our sins to God. We repented and asked for mercy, for forgiveness. And we do this at most services. In our personal prayer times, do we regularly confess our sins and ask for forgiveness? How did Jonah pray? With repentance and thanksgiving. How did God answer? When Jesus was at the bottom of the sea, God rescued him. He could have enabled Jonah to swim to the surface and then swim to shore. He could have sent some fishermen down to rescue him. But instead, God sent a great fish to swallow him. But in both cases, he answered in an unexpected way. Thank you. Jonah may have been thinking, well, at least I didn't drown. But how on earth can I get out of this fish? Perhaps the fish might be caught and I can escape. And then in verse 10 we read, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Next picture, Chris, please. It looks a bigger fish this time. I'm sure this was also unexpected. How far was Jonah vomited out? We're not told, but assume it was back to Joppa. How was it he wasn't hurt when he landed on the beach? Another miraculous event. And he still had around 1,600 miles to travel to get to Nineveh. But God forgave him and gave him a second chance. God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we expect. It's often unexpected, as in the case of Jonah. We should expect the unexpected. Sometimes he may say no to our specific prayer because he has a better plan for us. Sometimes he answers, but not immediately. Sometimes God answers our prayer in ways far more than we expect. Sometimes God answers by remarkable concurrence of events which would happen without apparent connection. And some may say that was simply a coincidence. As Archbishop William Temple has said, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't. I can remember someone once told me that as a young man, their ambition was to go to Cambridge University. At school, they worked really, really hard and achieved A grades in all of their A-level examinations. He was so sure he would be accepted by Cambridge. I'm certain that he would have prayed to God that he would be accepted. Then, to his great disappointment, despite his very good examination report results, he received a letter saying he'd been rejected by Cambridge. All his hopes and dreams had gone. It seemed everything he had worked so hard for was for nothing. His time had been wasted. He then went on to Durham University. It was at Durham that he met his wife-to-be, who he subsequently married. He said to me, had he gone to Cambridge, he doubted whether he would ever have met his wife and that God knew best. He added, God can see round the corners, but we can't. God created us and knows infinitely more than we know what's good for us and what's best for us and what would be not good for us. When Jonah prayed, God heard him and answered. And when we pray, God hears us and will answer us in ways that are best for us. Why did Jonah pray? Chris? Thank you. Why did Jonah pray? Because he was in need and recognized that he was under God's judgment for disobedience. Where did Jonah pray? In the depths of the sea and the belly of the fish, despite distractions and difficulties. How did Jonah pray? With repentance and thanksgiving. How did God answer? With forgiveness and in an unexpected way. There are some parallels between the story of Pinocchio and Jonah. Carlo Collodi, the author of Pinocchio, was a believing man who had actually been to Bible college. Pinocchio called out from the well, help, help, won't someone help me? And it was a small fish that helped him escape from the whale. From the depths of the grave, Jonah called for help. And it was God Almighty who heard his prayer and rescued him from the sea and from the penalty for his disobedience. He was forgiven. May each of us be faithful in prayer in the sure knowledge that God will hear and answer our prayers as may be best for us and those for whom we pray. Amen.